I want to talk about Josiah discovering the book of the law. This is in 2 Kings 22. Let's start with verse 2. Josiah did what was right in the eyes of Yahweh and didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. But wait a minute, it wasn't until the 18th year of his reign that he even discovered parts of God's law. And he realizes then that he's been ignorant of certain requirements from God. The scroll that had those parts of God's law in had been lost temporarily, and yet he's described as having always done what was right in the eyes of Yahweh, even though he was ignorant of part of God's word. And he says, "We have not done all that was enjoined upon us to do," verse 13. He didn't know all that was in the Book of the Covenant, which is how it's described in chapter 23, verse 2. So, lacking full knowledge, even of some quite important things, didn't stop Josiah from being credited with doing what was right before God and not turning aside from it to the right or to the left. So clearly God's judgment of him was according to how he'd responded to what he did know, even though he was ignorant of quite important parts of God's requirements. And I think that's a helpful window onto how we should feel towards those who sincerely seek to follow the Lord and yet their knowledge is imperfect, either because they simply don't have access to a Bible or because they have been mistaught. We are judged according to that which we know, and we are held accountable to that rather than to that which we don't know. So it just shows that the idea that sort of perfect knowledge is required in order to be right before God is not necessarily right, especially on some details of his revelation. You can misunderstand somebody to some degree and still have a legitimate relationship with them. Anyway, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law in the house of Yahweh." And he read it. Well, how and why did they find this book? Well, they were clearing out more space, as I understand it, in the sort of cellars of the temple in order to make the reforms that Josiah wanted. And it was in the process of doing that that they found this book of the law. And this is all part of the upward spiral in spiritual life. For example, it was as Barnabas and Paul went about their ministering to the Lord that they were invited to go on a missionary journey. It's in Acts 13, verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, "In the process of being a deacon, a servant of the church, faith is developed." 1 Timothy 3:13. So the very process of service and obedience leads you to greater revelation. There's an upward spiral. And you see that in your own life and quite often in biblical example. So Shaphan reads this before the king. Well, I don't think that it was perhaps the entire Pentateuch, but it seems particularly the curses for disobedience in Deuteronomy 28, because Josiah's response seems to be appropriate to someone who's just heard them read for the first time. And thus says Yahweh, "I will bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read." So the words of the book were the threat to bring evil. And 2 Chronicles 34:24 adds, "even all the curses that are written in the book which they've read before the king." So it was a book or a scroll that included the curses, which is very much Deuteronomy 27 and 28. And this motivated him. And in a sense, it's the harder side of God which actually acts as a kind of an attraction to the serious believer. We are thereby motivated to see that the issues before us are of eternal life and eternal death. Remember when Peter was in the boat and he realizes Jesus is walking on the water and he said, "If it's you, Lord, bid me come walking on the water towards you." He knew that Jesus, just like his father, was characterized by asking people to do that which seems so tough. Ananias and Sapphira were slain, and fear came upon as many as heard those things, and straight afterwards, many got baptized. They saw that the issues before us are ultimately serious. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul uses the terror of the Lord, the terror of possible condemnation, to persuade men. And Jeremiah, when he finds these words, he says in Jeremiah 15, "Your words were found, and I did eat them. And they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, Yahweh." So he rejoiced in these words of judgment. They were attractive and encouraging to him. And he says, "Because I'm called by your name," which is very much the language of a woman marrying and taking her husband's name. And it's used like that in Isaiah 4. And to say that the word of God was his joy and delight, that little phrase is always used, in fact, 4 times in Jeremiah alone, of the joy of a wedding. So Jeremiah sees himself as married to God, and he says, "Wow, there's more words of yours that have been found, and I ate them." He didn't roll his eyes and think, "Oh, hang, more judgment from God." Not at all. He saw that this is only one side of God, but because he loves God, it's a side of God he all the same is attracted to. Well, Josiah tears his clothes when he hears the words of the book of the law. I don't think because he particularly had been so disobedient, but his heart bled for others who he saw clearly had been disobedient. So he says, "Well, great is the wrath of Yahweh that is kindled against us." And that's the word for poured out. He senses that the wrath of God is kindled and is about to be poured out like fire upon them. And so they must repent with no time to lose. So here you do have maybe the other swing of the pendulum, that God was grieved, as he says in verse 17, "They've forsaken me and provoked me to anger," or grieved me. He's got emotions, he's hurt by people's behaviour. And he says, God says, "Therefore my wrath will be kindled and it will not be quenched." But despite that, Josiah appeals for repentance, because he sees that there is a gap between the point when God makes a statement, for example, "My anger will not be quenched," and the time when he actually pours out that unquenchable anger. And we all live in that gap. And this is the intensity of our lives, that we can change outcomes. Jeremiah says this, that God states things about a nation, but if that nation repents, then it will not happen. We live in that gap. And we should not shy away from God, but ask him to open our eyes to see what he wishes from us. And although, as we began by saying, God is understanding of those who are genuinely in ignorance, if you love God, as Jeremiah did, well, you want to know him in every facet of his character, not just the bits that you might find appealing, because you love him and everything to do with him.